Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your friendly James TC back with another episode. I figured I'd use my government name for this episode because for most of the people that know over recent events lately, we had a family tragedy in our family. My grandmother passed away, so I'll be dedicating this episode to her. All I can really tell you is if you got loved ones out there that you're close to, give them a hug. Spend time with them while you can, because time is short, and we're not guaranteed tomorrow, so. But that being said, we got quite a bit to talk about on this episode. Saw the last voyage of the Demeter, we'll talk about that. Played some Texas Chainsaw Massacre, we'll talk about that. We will talk about AEW Dynamite in one segment that I have to rant about because it's in relation to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game, which is just, it made me, I've never been more embarrassed to be a wrestling fan in a very, 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 very long time. This was worse than the WWE Zombies. I can honestly say that. When they promoted Army of the Dead for Netflix and Zack Snyder, this shit was terrible. I don't know what anybody was thinking doing this, but we'll get into that. Plus, I will talk about Insidious 5, the last, or the Red Door, so we'll get into that shit as well, because we have to talk about that. Unfortunately, I can't talk about the Halloween Ends book, because I haven't read much of it, because like I said, my grandmother just passed away, so we've been doing a lot of saying final goodbyes and getting preparations for funerals. She was cremated, so we gotta send her remains to Reno. So I haven't had time to read a book, but I've had time to see a few things. I saw Blue Beetle. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about that. I don't know yet, but we got other stuff to talk about. And then if we have enough time, we're going to debunk some things about certain movies that people are saying are coming out and they're not even official. So I'm talking about Halloween, because I've scoured the internet to find any information. A Halloween TV show. And A Nightmare on Elm Street. Also, we'll talk about Chucky. Chucky Season 3 was just announced, so we'll get to that. But let's get to it. This past Wednesday, AEW promoted the Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game, which is, as we're recording this, it is August 21st, so the video game is already out and being played, and I played it. I've had a good time. We'll get into that when I review the game. There's some issues, but overall I've had a good time. But this has nothing to do with the video game except for the fact that AEW had to have an excuse. Tony Khan had to make an excuse to make a Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match for a Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game belt. It's not for the, it's for promoting it. They gave a belt away. I'm not kidding. This is the most embarrassing piece of shit I've had to sit through in a very long time. I thought that the WWE having a lumberjack match with zombies to promote Army of the Dead for Netflix and Zack Snyder was embarrassing. This made it even worse. Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett, and I can't remember what the last bump. I'm assuming it was supposed to be Jay Lethal, but You couldn't tell because this fucking thing was a circus, but it was a match for a title for the Texas Chainsaw Deathmatch title. It's already fucking stupid as it is. The match starts off, everybody goes dragged out to the back, they beat each other up. Because what Jeff, it doesn't even do that, Jeff goes out and he takes himself all the way to the back of the concessions where they built a side area for a Texas Chainsaw Labyrinth. It's fucking stupid. Then Jeff Jarrett comes out of nowhere, everybody starts fighting, yada, yada, yada. They go into the fucking fun house. Let's just call it what it is. It's a fucking makeshift fun house, which makes it even more embarrassing. This isn't even Halloween. I might understand. I don't care if they're promoting a fucking horror movie video game. This shit is absurd. I might give you the pass if it was Halloween, and that's why I give WWE a little more of a pass, because it was in the Halloween season. But the fact of the matter is, it's not even a point. The point of the matter is, this is what makes people like me not be able to defend myself in the community that actually still likes wrestling. Because of embarrassing shit like this. It's childish. They go into the funhouse, Satnam Singh, the giant tall Indian dude, who's like the bargain bin great Kali. He really is. He's nowhere near as talented, and he's twice as ugly. They go in there and he fools around and they somehow beat him down and handcuff him up because it happened within picture in picture. When they return, Karen Jarrett is there obviously interfering in the match and somehow they knock both her and Jeff Jarrett down and Matt Hardy proceeds to pour a bucket of blood on both of them, almost missing both of them. So it only piles on Jarrett completely on the top of his toupee and then slightly gets the side of Karen Jarrett. She had to wipe some of it on the side of her tits to make it look like the bucket actually fell on her. You couldn't even do the shit that was fucking garbage. You couldn't even execute properly. Then it's a whole more song and dance and beating and fighting, and then they make their way back to the ring. And when they make their way back to the ring, they have a scuffle. And no, I'm not kidding. You hear zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz chainsaw around, chasing after Karen Jarrett, trying to get her away from the ringside, but he can't even do that properly. So that happens. Leatherface chases fucking Karen Jarrett with his chainsaw. He doesn't even make any of the noises, by the way. So that was a treat. It was bad enough you had a spectacle like you did with RoboCop coming out to save Sting or whatever back in the day. But it was bad enough you had fucking Leatherface out there, but you couldn't even have made up for us with the spectacle by having him do his grunts. He didn't make one sound. He might have went an E once. E. Because that's what we know Leatherface is known for. E. Okay. Like, the very bare minimum, even in the shitty thing, there was very bare minimum effort put in here, and it's embarrassing. It makes me embarrassed as a wrestling fan. It makes me embarrassed as a horror movie fan. It made me, like, actually wait a day to, out of spite. Because I tried to get in some games, and once I did, I was like, fuck this game. I, out of spite, didn't play the game for a day. Even if I wasn't working, I wouldn't have played it for a day out of spite because of fucking AEW. So you guys did the opposite of promoting this game and making people want to play it. For people like me, we wanted to see it trashed. But I'm glad it hasn't been, because we'll get into that in the next segment. We're going to save that for later, because I want to save the good for last. We're going to get in the grot next after I wrap this up. But the most part of the point of this whole thing is it made me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. And I haven't been embarrassed to be a wrestling fan since I was a kid back in the 90s when they had Bastion Booger and Mantar and Duke the Dumpster Drosy and Adam Bomb. Even when I was a kid, I knew the shit was stupid, but I enjoyed it because I was a kid. It was colorful. As an adult, I look back on it and I'm like, that shit was a stupid time in wrestling. This is even dumber. AEW has set the bar high for fucking wrestling stupidity.
But Jim, you're supposed to suspend your disbelief and have a good...
It's fucking stupid, and it exposes the business. We've already had enough goofy shit in there. When an old woman can give birth to a hand, we've exposed the business enough. We don't need Leatherface running amok and zombies cornering the ring. This is nonsense. And it really pissed me off. I told my mom, I said, if this shit ever happens again, I will quit. And I mean this, if a spectacle like this or close to it on this level ever happens again, I will quit watching AEW for good. And I mean that, dead ass. I will never watch another AEW event, show, special, or anything, because that was embarrassing and it was unacceptable. We can move on because the shit was fucking garbage. Dumbass Tony Khan and his brain dead propeller hat wearing jewel bucket fucking suspender wearing dumbass cannot do this properly. He does not know how to run a wrestling company properly. He's inept at his job. And the only reason why he can continue to have it is because he has a rich mommy and daddy. That's it. If you take them out of the equation, he's got no fucking wrestling company. He's a fucking bum. We're moving on. He's the Jason Blum of wrestling promoters. Anyway, if I can continue to talk properly, we'll move on to Insidious, the Red Door Witch. I'll tell you, that was a treat. That's all I can say. It wasn't horrible, but it did nothing to move the needle forward for anything. I question why this movie was even made, only to, maybe just to appease Jason Blum and get a couple of bucks off of it. He said he's not doing another one of these ever again, so not for a long, long, long time, because he's got to suck the teat off of Halloween and other franchises. He wants to be the new Michael Bay. I know that's what he's trying to do. But at any rate, this movie was mediocre. I didn't hate it, but I sat through the movie going, what is the point of this shit? It suffers from one of the major cardinal sins of horror. It's boring. It's not very entertaining. Nothing happens for long amounts of time. There's random jump scares out of nowhere, and I don't like jump scares as it is, but random jump scares just for shits and giggles. The movie was lazy. They phoned it in. They tried to do some fake ass shit by tugging on your heartstrings and making you cry, and that failed. Like, every corner that was turned, this movie's a failure. Now that I think about it, I am starting to hate it a little bit, because it was just, not because it's a poorly made movie, it's because it's a movie that nobody tries to do anything. I'm not even talking about reinventing the wheel or making a fresh horror movie. Nobody tries to do nothing. And that's what makes the movie extremely boring. I'm like, what are we doing here again? We paid money to see this. Luckily, I didn't go to the theater to see this. Thank God. Because I really would have been pissed and we would have been having another rant on this episode. But overall, it was just fucking boring. It's as bored as I am talking about it right now. I know it sounds like, it's like watching paint dry on a barn fucking fence. What's the point? Watching paint dry on the barn, though, would be better for you, because you're actually doing something, you know, constructive. Unlike watching this piece of shit movie where you're just sitting there going, I don't know what else I can do but sit here and be bored. So, the overall story is just returning back to the first two movies, solving a puzzle that those guys, a problem they actually brought on themselves, because they hypnotized themselves to forget all the things that happened to them, leaving Pandora's box all the fucking way open, and having no memories of why you're being attacked by these entities. That's brilliant. It's just like, you know, I open Pandora's box and I make sure someone completely gives me amnesia so I don't remember how to close said Pandora's box or even try attempt to stop it. and then I'll be completely attacked by entities and not understand why, and I can't do nothing about it. That's brilliant. That's the story in a nutshell, without spoiling it for someone who might, I don't know why, want to see this film. That's the story in a nutshell. Fucking stupid, ain't it? I agree. There's not much that can be said about this. I know I'm going round and round, but there's nothing. See it for yourself if you have to. You can see there's nothing of note to be said about this fucking movie. And there's some good actors in here. And some of them are misutilized. Why are you even in here? Rose Byrne's in there. I don't even know why she was in there. She did this for the bag. You can't convince me otherwise. Because she's utilized as nothing but being a shit heel. She might as well be bubblegum on the fucking heel of your shoe. Like, maybe that's more appealing because that's more obnoxious than trying to get out. She does even less than having fucking bubblegum on the heel of your shoe. So I don't know what the purpose of this movie is. I give it... I'm not going to give it an F, but it's like a C minus one day and then a D. It is literally a Netflix and chill. You put it on the background while you're fucking your wife or your boyfriend. That's literally what you do with this film. You look up from time to time when she's coming and you go, oh, cool, let's get back to it. You put this on when you're doing chores. You know, you're doing the dishes. You put it on the back. You can look to the side while you're scrubbing the dish and putting it in the dishwasher. You know, you do this while you're folding laundry. It's one of these type of films. A chore, you put it on in the background. And if you really want to pay attention to it, good luck to you. Godspeed, because it's a fucking chore in itself to do. It's boring. So, Insidious, The Red Door, I would say skip it unless it's on streaming. And even then, it's in the background type of movie. So there you go. It was a real treat, boy. A perfect ending to somewhat of a lackluster series, because Insidious 1 and 2 are the only good films. The ones that James Wan did. After that, you might as well be putting your nose in a dirty baby's dirty diaper. So fuck them. That's what I say. Moving on to the positive notes, we might as well get back into the Texas Chainsaw. You know, AEW promoted it like shit, and I didn't even want to play it, but I'm kind of glad I did. I got to play with my boy Dan. Shout out to Dan. He's got a podcast. Check that out. The Mad Ramblings of Don Montesanti, if I'm not mistaken. It's on Spotify. But I played a couple matches with him, and I played without him. Like, it's got a long way to go. I'm not going to lie. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game at launch, it's got a long way to go. However, it was a better launch than, because it's the same company that did the Friday the 13th game. They've done something else, but they're most notably for the Friday the 13th, Gun Interactive. That launch was shit. Friday the 13th video game was terrible, and I didn't even know if I wanted to buy it, but I ended up doing it later on when the complete edition came out, and it ended up being okay, but this is a lot better, although there's not much to work with. There's three maps, if I'm not mistaken. You're lucky to be Leatherface when you can get him. It's not like it's like you have. I've played Leatherface about four times. Out of 40 games, I got to play Leatherface four times in grand total. So it's not very easy. But they have other side characters like the cook. The cook is fucking awesome because he has this ability where you can press the button and use his ear as a sonar device to find out where your victims are talking or moving, footsteps, and you can track them that way. You got the map button where you can push up on the fucking D-pad and you can see, depending on how well you fed blood to Grandpa, because that's another task you have to do. You have to give Grandpa blood consistently to build this power up so that you can have better power ups for yourself like cooldown, so the cooldown isn't as long, so you can use your abilities more often. Being able to, on the map when you push the D-pad open, being able to actually see your victims, unlike in the beginning, you can't really do it because Grandpa's not even up. Once Grandpa's awake and you're feeding him blood, his powers expand, and so too do yours, because it's all part of the whole family. You're all family, that's the theme. It's like Fast and the Furious, family, family. But although it's argued, fuck Fast, family was established first by Texas Chainsaw, so we'll give it to them. Fuck the Furious films, because, you know, Texas Chainsaw came first. A lot sooner than Fast and the Furious. Anyway, that's a side rant for another day. But the family aspect is a very big thing here. Utilizing teamwork, which, you know, unless you're playing with friends, it's going to be very hard to get in a match where people actually want to comply and do teamwork. Excuse me. People just go off and do their merry little fucking thing. And it usually results in, A, if you're a fucking victim, you get killed by the family, or B, if you're part of the family, victims escape like fucking nothing, and it's very easy for them to do, because no one wants to use any fucking real teamwork. It's a little, in a game, this is why I don't like game developers doing this, because for modern gamers, they don't fucking care. Unless you're playing Call of Duty where everybody can do free-for-all as an option anyway and not have to team up, you're not going to get games like this where you can have people cooperate willingly and it ruins the game completely. It's not a game breaker, but it is frustrating not being able to get matches unless you're with a group of your friends. Let's be honest, how many of any of us do we have any real friends where we're like, yeah, come over, dude, that you actually can tolerate? You can count maybe a few on your hands and that's it. You may have hundreds of friends, but you only got a few that you actually want to hang out with on your hands, so let's not play the little fucking game. So it makes almost these games obsolete because you're like, why am I playing this? I'm on a team with randos that don't want to cooperate, so then it completely takes away all the objectives that you have to do in the first place, so and then you don't even want to play. Luckily, I haven't gotten to too many of those, but it is, when it is an issue, it is a major fucking issue. An issue where games crash, where you go into it and someone just goes, fuck it, I don't want to play anyway, I don't know you. And then when you do that, the game crashes. And then you got to go back to the menu again, and you're like, this is really frustrating, and I know I'm dogging on it, but I want to get all the bad stuff out because there are great elements. Like I said, the cook is awesome. When you get to play Leatherface and you figure it out, playing Leatherface is fucking awesome. FYI, you have to turn his, because you're going to go up and do what me and all my friends did, and go up and try and stab him when you find a victim. No. Here's a little FYI. You have to start the chainsaw up first before you can use it. If you do what you can do with anybody else, like other victims, where you can just start hacking away, the victim will get away. So you better have your chainsaw on and running. So I would highly recommend it. Otherwise, you're not going to kill very many victims. And that is the name of the game. At the end of the day, there's other shit you got to do. But at the end of the day, what you want to do to get the highest point percentage for your family, execute motherfuckers. Because that's what the family does. They execute motherfuckers, chop them up, and put them in the chili. That's the whole point of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know? Get those corn nuts in the chili, even though it's a human toenail, you know? As they like to say. That I would have liked a lot more. That's the one thing that does pisses me off is you don't get to put anybody in a stew. You got to collect a lot of buckets of blood with guts and shit in it. And it's not very violent. Now, I can understand with their argument, well, the original one wasn't very violent anyway. And it's true. The original one wasn't very violent and there was more implied. But we've been through enough Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies by this point and remakes. You could have stepped the violence up. Let's not make that little cop-out argument. We wanted the fucking blood and gore, and that's one of the biggest docks on this fucking game that I have, is the blood and gore is drawn back for some reason. I don't understand why, and it kind of aggravates me. So I was very disappointed with that portion of the game. I'm like, let's step up the blood a little bit more. Let's see a little more head bashing with mallets and blood spraying out. Not expecting Evil Dead, but we could have had a lot more blood. There, it's not bloodless. It is mature for a reason, but it should have been a little bit harder R than what it is. So overall, the game is cool. It's fun to play. You get addicted to it quick, and you just want to keep playing when there's not problems, when you can get into matches. But that's the problem. It gets addicting quick, and you do enjoy it, but all those problems take you out of the game quite a bit. So right now, I can't recommend buying the game, but I do recommend, if you, especially if you have an Xbox, you get, use this on Game Pass, download the game, and play the shit out of it, because it is so much fun. Otherwise, I can't really make this. Right now, in its state, it's a 6 out of 10. And that's a high recommendation for a game that is technically broken. Not figuratively, this game is technically still broken right now, because they've got a lot of patches and new. This game is going to be out for 5-6 years. If Friday the 13th was any indicator, this game will be out for a while. So there will be patches and add-ons and shit throughout the entire span of the years. But right now, day one, day two, day three, it's a 6 out of 10. I recommend it for a party game on Halloween. But other than that, especially if you have a lot of friends with you, especially if you can get some friends online that you have a lot of friends, especially on Xbox and PS4 or PS5, if you've got a lot of friends that are willing to play online and make a party game during the Halloween season, this is definitely a good game. But other than that, I can't be stupid and recommend this over, like, unless you've got Game Pass. I have Game Pass, so I'm enjoying it. I would not be buying this. I'm sorry, just in its state right now, it is a strong pass for me to purchase. Especially if you're talking like $60. Don't even. Maybe 40 on a good day. Maybe 40 on a good day, and that's still pushing it. So, but if you got Game Pass, there's no reason why you shouldn't play this game. You have nothing to lose. You're not paying for it. It's in your subscription. So if you have Game Pass, yeah, it's a high recommendation. It's a must play because it's addicting quick. But that's my spiel on it. Finally, we're going to end this up. This isn't going to be an overly long episode unless I really go into Demeter for a long amount of time. But finally, I did see the Last Voyage of the Demeter, and you know, for those that know, that have seen Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, or even especially have read Bram Stoker's book, this is a almost 2-hour movie. I think it's an hour and 48, if I'm not mistaken. Clocking in. Well, let's look it up, and I can just continue my monologue. This movie is being stretched out from an excerpt in Bram Stoker's Dracula's book. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, especially from what the movie said, it's the captain's log of the Demeter. It's an excerpt inside the book that was turned into the movie. So, hold on, because I want to get this right and give credit to people where it's due to as we go through this review. It was released August 11th, rated R, sits as a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes, but what the fuck do those stupid, goofy, cross-eyed bastards know anyway? I really don't care about Rotten Tomatoes. I care more about my opinion and the opinion of the people in the horror community. They're more important, the audience is more important than fucking Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes can suck my dick. It's not giving a runtime. I do know, yeah, it's like 1:48. It's an hour and 48 minutes. It's barely under 2 hours, which is like you're stretching it there. But overall, it was a solid movie. It wasn't perfect. But I thought it was a really good movie. Corey Hawkins is a great character as Clemens. Isola I can't even say her name. Fenocia is Anna. Liam Cunningham is Captain Elliot. He's fantastic. And especially his story arc. I can't tell you much about it without spoiling it. But his story arc, especially with his son, if I'm not mistaken, it is good and it's heartbreaking. The way they do it is Chris Wiley is Abrams. And David Dismalchian was, Captain Elliot's XO. I didn't even recognize that was David until the final act of the movie. A lot of people will, knowing he's in it. But they made him so dirty and dressed down, which was good because he's on a fucking sea. He's on a boat as a sailor, for the most part, a pirate. You know, going around the fucking doing odd shit. He's gonna be dressed down, but I did not recognize him. I was like, fuck, David, that's you? Overall, it was a good movie. I thought it was fair. It was a hell of a lot better than Insidious, I'll tell you right now. I can't say much about this movie without spoiling it because you know the outcome of it. If you know this is about Dracula being transported to from Transylvania to Europe, to England, pretty much. If I spoiled that for you, then I don't know why you would even be going to see this movie, because the movie tells you it's a fucking creature feature, even through the trailer. It tells you that it's a fucking excerpt. In the very first 5 seconds of the movie, in the opening titles screen, it tells you that this is an excerpt from A Captain's Log of Bram Stoker's Dracula. So you know what you're dealing with. If that was a spoiler for you, I'm very sorry, but you shouldn't have been seeing this movie anyway. Then you didn't know what you were going to see. That being said, if you know what you're going to see, it's actually a pretty solid movie. Already know the outcome. Most of the fucking, especially if you've seen Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, he goes through that shit quick. Because Dracula mows through everybody. The creature effects of Dracula look good. I do like the way he looks. It's reminiscent of Salem's Lot. The creature design is almost similar to that. The practical effects are really damn good. Especially there's a scene where someone gets pressed into the wing of Dracula's, into the webbing of Dracula's wing, and it looks like they're suffocating through a plastic bag. It's awesome. The CG is what gets me. The CG's kind of wonky. It's not horrid, but it's on the borderline where you're like, ugh, it takes you out. I wish they just would have had the balls to do this whole fucking movie in practical effects all straightforward. Because there's a mix. You can tell. If they would have just done practical effects throughout, this movie would have been even more significantly making you on the edge of your seat. It would have been a bit more significant in terror and making you. There's a lot of tension building in this movie, but some of it's thrown out by the shitty CGI. I don't understand Hollywood studios. And a part of this is why a lot of me like, well, it's like, I hope you guys burn to the fucking ground, because I don't understand why a lot of Hollywood studios just don't want to put the money in. If you're going to do the CGI, put the money in for some good CGI. Fuck, better than good CGI. I want to see great if you're going to keep doing this. Otherwise, stop doing it. It's fucking childish. At any rate, I don't run the companies, but that's a side rant for another day anyway. Overall, I thought the movie was really fantastic. It wasn't great. And they did, I will say without spoiling it, why I don't know why they did this either, because this movie's not making enough money for one, but they left it open for a sequel. And they do debunk a horror movie trope about black people, where I'll leave it at that, without, because if I say any more, it'll spoil it. This movie does debunk the black people, a major horror movie trope for black people in this movie, which I fucking love, but it also led to the movie being open as a sequel, which I'm like, I don't know if you can really do that. This movie's not going to be blowing up the box office, but we'll see. maybe 10 years down the line, but then you won't be able to get the same people. Not in their current state, so I don't know. Overall, I give this movie a solid. And I know this will be high. A lot of people will be like, this movie sucked. That's fine. For me, this is a solid 8 out of 10. I'm even going to put this in my collection once it comes out. I really do want this on a 4K Blu-ray. Because the creature effect's cool. It's a nice slow burn. There's some fucked up moments in it. Like, there's some really fucked up moments, but yeah, I say 8 out of 10. I'm sorry. I just had to think about it for a second. I say 8 out of 10. It's a solid 8 out of 10. I enjoyed it, and I can't wait to get this into my collection. It's going to be a good Halloween film, like, just to watch during Halloween season. I love it. So, not bad, not great, not perfect, but for coming out of an excerpt of fucking Bram Stoker's Dracula, you could have did a lot worse, so. Now we'll move on to the final topic, and I want to talk about certain YouTubers and certain people in the horror movie community putting out, you know, clickbait horror movie shit that ain't true. We don't have any information other than Jason Blum is trying to fight for the fucking rights to do A Nightmare on Elm Street from the Wes Craven estate. There's a lot of people doing clickbait shit just so they can get you into their video. And I'm just warning people, just so they know. Doing clickbait fucking videos so they can get you into their videos to listen to their fucking headcanon of what they want. Their fan fiction of what they want from a new Halloween TV series and a new Nightmare on Elm Street fucking movie. I've seen a lot of them, where they give crumbs of information about new shit that might be coming, and it's not real because we don't have any confirmation from any reliable sources within the estate or without any. We know about the names that are bidding for it. That's all we know. But everybody's like, well, you'll see tons of them on YouTube, see tons of articles on the internet. New Nightmare on Elm Street movie in production by such and such. And they get you into their videos and it's like, whoa, it's a speculation. And then it's a segue for them to tell you about what they want for their fan fiction of a Halloween TV series or a Nightmare on Elm Street's next movie. We can't say for 100% A Nightmare on Elm Street is happening. But it may be 10 years down the line, because nobody may be able to pay for the ungodly amount that the Craven Estate is asking. The Craven Estate is asking for an ungodly amount, and there's one or two reasons why. A, they want the money, or B, they don't want people touching it, so they've set up such a high number that no one can do it. People within the talks are, yes, Blumhouse, but also Paramount's in talks to try and get something. Universal's in talks to try and get something. These are the factual things we know. But that does not make a movie so. Okay? I'm a poet. I didn't even know it. It's a bidding war right now. So nothing is happening. There's not even a fucking script written. Even if we weren't in a strike, there's not a script written. Because they're in a bidding war right now to see. The Craven Estate is fucking with people to see who will pay the ungodly amount. If they get it, fine. At least we'll get paid an amount that we shouldn't be getting paid to make a movie, whether it's good or bad. Or it's going to be so high that, fine, nobody will pay for it. At least our fucking father and our grandfather and such, Wes Craven's legacy will not be tarnished because you can't pay for it. Those are the only things that are going on right now. You see anything else, unless it is confirmed by a Vanity Fair, a Hollywood Reporter, a Collider, a Washington Post, a New York Times, unless they're legitimate fucking sources that are saying it, you're seeing these randos on YouTube, don't take it as law. Because if I report it, it'll be reported from the Hollywood Reporter, the New York Times, Vanity Fair, legitimate Entertainment Tonight, people that actually have their head burrowed up the ass, hell, even TMZ of the entertainment industry. Okay? We're not going to go off some rando on YouTube that just said, well, Billy Jack told me that his sister Gladys Sue told her that her uncle Jethro told him that they're making a new Nightmare on Elm Street. Fuck all that. That's for the birds, and it's for stupid people. So, and I'm not going to insult your intelligence like that. So as far as I'm concerned, we have no information. However, I almost went off on the air without giving the actual information. What we do know, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll wrap up with this, is we are, it has been officially announced by Sci-Fi, and everybody, and Universal, and Chucky himself, we have officially got the announcement date for Chucky Season 3. God, I hope they don't. I think they're in D.C. It was rumored they were in New York. From what he's talking, they're in D.C. So, special report, let's listen to it.
New Jersey for a special announcement.
You made this podium so fucking tall. I'm here to announce to you, dipshits, that Season 3 of my show, Chucky, will return on October 4th.
And October 4th.
Rest until every single one of you fuckers watch it. Now ask me some questions.
Chucky, what is this season about?
All I'll say is, DC is gonna get chucked up.
With so much content out there, where can we watch the new season?
I'm too big for only one platform, so my show's running on 3. USA, Sci-Fi, and Peacock.
Next, yeah, that's insane. That's insane.
Are you returning as a new character?
Who? Next question.
How about Jennifer Tilly? Will she be back?
Yes, you know, she always comes back.
Really, right here, Chucky. What's your response to critics that say there have been way too many doll movies recently?
I'd say, this is not a movie. I already did 7 movies.
Yeah,
this
bitch.
Is a TV show. What kind of a shitty question is that? I'm coming for you.
And there we go. New season October 4th, simultaneously on USA Network, Sci-Fi Channel, and The Cock. That's pretty overwhelming, but hey. And as he said, he's in D.C. There was rumors that he was going to New York just like they did in Scream 6, but he's going to D.C. to hack up some, hopefully he hacks up some politicians. I hope he cuts old sleepy Joe Biden's throat. Fuck that loser. But anyway, you know, here we go. You know, maybe he'll stab Trump in his head a couple of times too. Give him an indictment with a pin in his eye. Who knows? Anyway, October 4th, we are getting it. They were able to finish it before the writer and actors. They just got it done. So we are getting some Chucky this year. Whew, luckily. But they better step it up because last season was a fucking joke. I hate it. I loved the first season. The first season was an amazing surprise. The second season was mediocre dog shit. They need to. Even my mom hated it, and she tried. She's a diehard Chucky fan. That's one of her all-time favorites, if not her very favorite. She even tried to defend it, and by the end of it, I'm like, "You're still defending it?" She's like, "No, it was bad." So you, even for my mom, who's excited about, because I told her October 4th, she's like, yeah. I'm like, even after last season, she's like, still, you guys better step it up. Because we're all looking at you. Because if you have 2 bad seasons, I don't even give a fuck if you get a 4th. So I am looking forward to seeing Jennifer Tilly again, though. That's always a good time. So anyway. Hopefully this was a good enough episode for all the listeners, you know, the 3 of you that are still here, and hopefully this was a good enough tribute to my grandmother. I love her, I miss her. It's gonna be some hard times, but we'll get through, you know. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm glad you guys taking time out of your day to listen to this fucking idiot. Love you guys. Be easy on yourselves. Peace. Until the next episode.